Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Medical Minds Conversations with Guthrie Experts. I'm Steve Osterhaus, as always, joined by Dr. Corinne Johnston. And as I've mentioned before, Dr. Johnston is not only a family physician, but she is also the Chief Patient Experience Officer for the Guthrie Clinic. And Dr. Johnston, this week that we're bringing to a close is a really big one for you.
Yeah. It is. This week has we've been celebrating Patient Experience Week, which, you know, for those that are listening and jumping in and maybe saying, what is that? It's really about celebrating the patient experience. So this has been something that's been evolving in healthcare, and it's really making sure that we put the human, the patient, at the center of what we're doing. That process may start when you get online to look at a website. It involves your visits. It involves maybe a hospital stay. It involves your billing. It involves that process afterward when we're following up with you. And as we'll get into with some of our guests coming up, there's a lot of variables, but there's also a lot of great outcomes that we get from that. So exciting week to celebrate all of those caregivers, from the person who empties the garbage to delivers the food to the provider who is giving that medical care, and really celebrating all of them.
So much going on behind the scenes that people don't realize. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure if we've mentioned this on one of our previous episodes, but we call everyone caregivers at the Guthrie Clinic, regardless of whether you are clinical in nature or not. Yeah. So it kind of speaks to that role that you're talking about and the experience overall.
Absolutely. Everyone is providing care, and you need all things to be right to provide exceptional care.
All right, really excited this week for our guests joining us, our members of the patient experience team. Obviously, Dr. Johnston, you're very familiar with both of them. We have Lonnie Stroop and we have Amanda Koch. So first of all, both of you, thank you very much for being here today.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
And I guess, you know, this is Patient Experience Week, which is why this episode is coming out when it is. So I think we should start kind of with the basics, start from the beginning. Let's discuss exactly what Patient Experience Week is.
Yeah, I think that's important, Steve. So we open, I think, almost every one of our podcasts saying, oh, Dr. Johnston does family medicine, and she's also our Chief Patient Experience Officer. So that is a really integral component of who I am and how I am as a clinician. And like you said, I'm so lucky to have the team that I do to meaningfully make differences every day. So it's National Patient Experience Week. What is that? And how do you celebrate something like that? So the Barrel Institute is kind of a governing enormous body in patient experience. It's thought sharing, process sharing, and it really stretches across continents. And they created National Patient Experience Week to raise awareness about the essential role of patient experience in healthcare. And it proves, or it sits to acknowledge the caregivers who practice strong communication, collaboration, and compassion, and how that results in positive impact on our patients. So that's what this week is about. It's about celebrating the caregivers and how we continually work to provide a great experience.
And that's important, right? Because people are always going to talk about the experience they have. And it's not just the experience in terms of the outcome.
Yeah.
Although obviously we're always striving for that best outcome, but it's the overall experience.
Yeah. And what's the old one, Lonnie or Amanda might know, there's the, it used to be like, if you had a negative experience, you would tell 8 people, but mm-hmm. now with social media, the number is really high.
I don't know the specific, but it's a lot.
Yeah. So
really social media has that impact?
Just a little bit.
It amplifies everything.
I think the nice thing about the Patient Experience Week is that it really kind of helps us to acknowledge and celebrate the caregivers, and really put a focus on the importance of relationships, and the human aspect of healthcare, you know, from the patient side and from the caregiver side. And it helps us to put a focus on that and how important that is and understanding.
I think very commonly we forget there are, to Lonnie's point, people, human beings that are worth caring for. It's not a disease. It's not an illness. It's a person. And then those people who are in the trenches, maybe seeing bad outcomes, working at a lower staffing rate, those kind of things. They're humans too, that have to process all that they see and do.
It is often those relationships. You know, Lana, you mentioned the relationships. People will often leave a healthcare facility, and that's what they may remember, that relationship that they formed with a nurse or other professional within that, you know, hospital setting or space.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. One of we were at a press gaining conference just recently, and they had over 331 million comments that they surveyed. And the number one theme that came out of it that patients mentioned and wanted was kindness. That was the number one. So it's really that is what patients take away from their experiences, and that they focus on and talk about when they leave, is the kindness aspect.
Amanda, were you going to say something? I saw you jump in.
And I forgot what it was now, so we're fine.
So, and I think sometimes, you know, kindness is so important, and we all know that, but the sometimes we end up in this rut of, well, just be nice, just be nice, right? And there's a difference between providing a stellar experience versus being nice.
Yeah, so go ahead. Sorry, Amanda.
Well, you know, whenever I do training for our eye care, one of the things I focus on so much is, you know, and we train people to go by a list of things. It's important. There's safety checks that need to be done, but there's also a person sitting in that bed, and there's a backstory to that person, and getting to know that can make a big difference in the connection that you make. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah. And what are those, Lana, you talk a lot about internally with us, kind of so much of what we do is safety, right? Or it improves quality. Talk a little bit about some of those things.
So I think, you know, patient satisfaction and patient experience is often used interchangeably, and they're actually very different. And it's, you know, over the past, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years now, it's really been more of a understanding that it's not just about satisfying our patients. We do want to, you know, focus on service, and we want to focus on what their expectations are in healthcare. But it's also really about those safety measures and the quality of care that we're giving. What are those measures or key behaviors that we know, if done, deliver safe care, effective care? You know, it's not just about communicating with the patients, it's the quality of communication. You know, our failure to communicate effectively is a huge, can see huge outcomes on our patients and their care and the type of care that they're able to give to themselves when they leave. So it's not so much just being kind and talking to them nicely. It's also measuring those key aspects of safety to ensure that they're getting an overall quality of care and experience.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of good, you know, measurements of that they can give examples of, you know, nationally, things like diabetic patients demonstrate better care, better self-management, better quality of life when they report positive interactions with their providers.
Yep.
You know, communication with providers, when we have that listed as a strong point, we see better control of chronic conditions like heart disease, blood pressure, you know, GI illnesses, things like that. And there was one really great study that showed that patients that were hospitalized for a heart attack, if they gave good scores for or positive reports about their experience, they had better health outcomes a year later. So a year after their discharge, if they had a good experience, they were still benefiting from that. So I think there's evidence to show us that this is where healthcare should be, right? I think this is where we started, and then we kind of veered off, maybe with technology, maybe with volume, demand, that sort of thing.
So there's that, you know, maybe this is an assumption, but there's that communication you're talking about then, and a level of trust built up between the patient and the provider, and therefore if I'm putting two and two together, then like you said, the outcomes a year later are that much better because they're taking what they've heard, they're accepting it, and they're feeling like, you know, this is the right path because of this. I've built this rapport with this provider or this healthcare caretaker.
Definitely. I think that that's a huge part of it, is building that trust and connection. So they know that they can go to that person with questions, you know, they're going to get them answered. They trust what they're going to say, and then they will follow. Mm-hmm. So that will definitely make that a better outcome for actually both.
Yeah. And you feel safe, right? You feel safe to ask the question that maybe is silly, but might lead to a reason that something might happen. And I think that when you have that, and that's not just healthcare, right? If mm-hmm. I trust my teacher, if I trust this adult, if I'm a child, you know, if I trust this friend, this confidant, those are all reasons that we seek those relationships in life.
And all of the patients, right, our community that come here, they're all in different walks of life, all in different education levels, different experience. They all have, you know, different things happening. And so it's really important for our caregivers to kind of meet them where they are. And we talk about that and trying to help, you know, everyone's different. So they kind of have to assess that as well and be really mindful of where they are, what kind of goals they have for themselves, and making sure that they're meeting those needs as well.
Yeah.
And we use lots of different measures for things like that. So we use, you know, our technical measures that come from, you know, all of the safety and different aspects of quality. We use those. And then we also use like our surveys that kind of complement mm-hmm. those technical metrics and kind of create that entire picture of the patient's experience.
How difficult is it to fight that battle of social media? You know, not to bring it back to the beginning, but, you know, we know the impact social media has. So then when you're all doing your job, understanding, okay, we need to counteract that and, you know, go like next level to make sure that the positive voices are being heard over maybe some of the others.
I think they're all important. And so it's important to, you know, we're getting our patient's voice from many locations, right? We want to hear it and we want to know. And so we do want to, you know, we try to really push and recognize all of those caregivers and individuals that are delivering excellent care every single day to our patients, are building that trust, helping them to live healthier lives. But, you know, I think it's also, we need to know where the gaps are. We need to know where there are opportunities so that we can make it better. So I think it's just staying open and flexible and letting people share so that we can become better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do surveys, but we also spend time at the bedside with our patients. We'll go and we'll talk to them and we'll, you know, say, what's your biggest worry today? And it's so interesting, those different answers that you get from people, mm-hmm. because it could be literally something like, they're missing their pet at home, or maybe they have another family member that's in the hospital, or they've just received a diagnosis. So, you know, getting in there and finding out, you know, what's going on with them that day and what we can do to make it better.
Yeah. And I think, Steve, when you talk about kind of that like social media influence, right? And so much of medicine now is publicly reportable, right? You can get on a website, a CMS governmental website, and you can see how any health system does in multiple things, right? Not just, you know, mm-hmm. do their surgical patients get infections? You know, do their patients recommend the hospital, recommend the practice? There's transparency in healthcare systems. You know, the newer generation, they don't ask, hey, who's a good doctor? They get online, yep. right? And they read online right. And they look at reviews, and they look at that review might be through Google. It might be through the website of the hospital or the health system, but that's all there. You can see it. And I think the important thing, and Lonnie and Amanda can both talk to this, is, you know, I think in society, we feel a survey burden right now. You know, I get surveyed about everything. I pay a bill online, I get a survey about it, right? I'm in the hospital, I see a doctor, I get a survey about it. But we pay attention to those. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes you write a paper in school and in the middle of it, you'd want to write like, is anyone reading this? You know, but we do. And maybe you guys can talk a little bit about that process. We hear your voices.
Yeah. So one of my main roles in our system is to kind of do the analysis and the management of the different types of data that we're getting in for our patient surveys. And we receive over 100,000 surveys a year from all the different service lines that we serve across all the different locations. And it's very important that we are looking at every single survey, every single, you know, comment that comes through, and that we're reading those all the way from, you know, our C-suite down to our front line. They need to know what's going on and what our patients are saying. And this is, we call it, you know, it's the patient's voice, and we need to hear it and we need to see it. So, it can feel like a burden, but it is so very important for us to help understand, and it gives an opportunity for them to either recognize someone that's doing really well or to let us know. So we take them very seriously and we follow up on the actions.
Yes. I mean, and just, we consider complaints a gift, right? It is. It's something someone cares enough to actually tell us. So if they do that, then we can actually make a difference with it. We can take that feedback and make changes. So for the next person, it's going to be a better experience. And that's important.
Yeah. And Steve, pop quiz. Do you think that money is tied to patient experience in today's healthcare world?
Well, I think the thought is that it should not be.
So probably another podcast.
It depends. Is that the right answer?
It depends. Steve, you've learned so well. The answer is always depends. It's the first thing you learn in medical school. So, you know, and I don't think it's tough because we're only, the government is very much, you can't tell people what answer to give you, right? But I think we learned this in one of our hospital regions, that patients didn't know that the financial well-being of your hospital system is tied to your responses on those surveys. So money that you get in from payers, money, and whether it's the government or a commercial payer, those sort of things are actually tied to those survey outcomes. So certainly you should tell us what happened. But, you know, I think sometimes humans, we look towards a little bit more towards the negative. And we're just not aware that millions of dollars may actually be on the line because of those responses that we're giving. And I don't foresee it going anywhere. The government has truly, the payers have said that this is important. This is wellness. This is a human. And we know there are so many things tied to what that experience looks like.
And it's actually just expanding. You know, it's been expanding year after year, and more of the different types of service lines are now being required to measure, because it's important. And they want to know, you know, what kind of care are you giving? And how do you stack up to other hospitals? So kind of pushing you to always continuously do better and to do more and to, you know, deliver better care for your community.
And it's important to know too, that because I think sometimes as part of an organization, when I'm out wearing my chief patient experience officer hat, you know, you're seen as one more thing, you know, well, okay, here she comes. She's going to tell me I need to be nice, just be nice. But that's not, it's acknowledge that there's a human in front of you. And if that was you, you know, we often talk about the golden rule. Now I think there's the platinum rule, right? But if it was you, if it was Steve, if it was your family member, you know, would it be okay? And then on the flip side, we also know that employees, so we use the word caregivers at Guthrie, so you'll hear us say that. We know that efforts to improve patient experience improve satisfaction of the employee, and it reduces turnover, because it requires process improvement, right, across a system to deliver effective, meaningful care. So by pushing to improve this, you're also improving the experience for your caregiver.
And we also talk about at Guthrie, the Guthrie experience. So we have our patients, we have our caregivers, and then we have the community. And one of those key components of that, as Dr. Johnson mentioned, are the caregivers. You know, they find themselves in all three of those buckets. They're the caregivers. They're mm-hmm. also the patients or the family members caring for patients. And then they also are a part of the community. Their neighbors, you know, are maybe come in and they have to, you know, help them and assist them. We're all a part of that. So the caregivers mm-hmm. is truly, mm-hmm. I think, one of the key, if not the key focus for not mm-hmm. only just patient experience, but healthcare experience in general. And looking at, you know, the engagement of our caregivers, how safe is it for our caregivers? Are they, you know, is there adequate staffing for them? And looking at all of those types of things is really kind of where that focus is and kind of pushing that overall experience.
So I'm going to ask all of you the question that we usually, you know, come to a close with. Is there anything we haven't talked about that we should be talking about? I think I've learned that there are so many more layers to the patient experience than I thought about going into this conversation.
Mm-hmm. There are so many layers.
Yeah. So I think it's, I would just say that I think it's really important not only for you know, just for, you know, every single aspect of healthcare and the humans involved in the experience, but to remember that we're all humans and we all have different things that are going on. One of the things that we like to share with our teams is, you know, somebody woke up one morning, they were going to work and something happened, and now they showed up and they are walking through the emergency room doors or being carried in through the emergency room doors. What does that experience look like for them? Try to take it through the patient's eyes, or on the flip side, you know, as our leadership teams, look at that experience through the caregiver's eyes, right? So we're constantly trying to be in someone else's shoes. And I think that's really important. And as we move forward with learning more about the experience in healthcare, is learning about everyone's experience.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I keep a folder. So I know it's hard to believe, but I've been doing this as an attending for about 10 years. I think we've already covered that I was 16 when I graduated medical school. That's the only way those numbers work out.
Sure. The math adds up.
fact check. So, you know, I keep a folder on my desk, and, you know, it's on the folder. It says, remember your why, right? So a long time ago when I decided that I wanted to be a physician, you have to write a paragraph or an essay about why. And my essay was not about, what I want to be, but who I want to be, and how I want to make a difference, and how I can do that. And in primary care, it's nirvana. Like, I take care of generations of families, and I see my patients grow and across, and I'm with them in difficult moments and happy moments, but it's the thank you card. It's the you listened. It's a thank you for showing up today. Like, that's my why. And I think if we can all tie ourselves back to why we're here and eliminate the noise, then we find kind of that true essence of the intimacy of healthcare, of caring for one another. And it's hard to do that some days. It's probably why I keep a folder, so I can remind myself on the hard days of why I'm here. So I'm so proud of this team, because amongst the 10,000 priorities that exist in healthcare today, they stand strong to say it's more than just kindness, right? There's a lot to it. And I'm appreciative of Medical Minds allowing us to come on and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Steve, I think we had a great podcast today, kind of talking about this evolution of, you know, really customer service, as you see in any department. When this whole process started in healthcare, it really began as patient satisfaction. Are we satisfying our patients? Then it kind of moved into patient experience. Are we providing a great experience? And now it's really involved to the human experience. So involving the caregivers or employees, involving the patients. And I think, you know, perfectly summed up with that idea of it's just not about outcomes, but it's about the journey that we all go through as human beings. So thanks for giving us the time to talk about this today.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And if any of you listening or watching wants to continue that journey, you can do so online as well. Lots of great tips for living an active, healthier lifestyle. Just head to Guthrie.org/engage. All right. It's been a lot of fun. Until next week, have a great week, Dr. Johnston.
Take care.